Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to people who want to speak more as a way to build their income and grow their business. Well, welcome everyone to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Atkinson, author of The Wealthy Speaker 2.0 and The Epic Keynote. Today's show, we are diving into a topic which is very near and dear to my heart, and that is productivity. Yay, don't we all love that? Our guest expert today is Erin Falconer. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
You're like laughing. Yay, we love productivity. Well, you wrote a book about it. So let me tell everybody a little bit about you, and then I'm going to have you fill in the blanks. One second here. Erin Falconer is a Canadian living in Los Angeles. She has a varied career that includes screenplay writer, stand-up comedian, political consultant, huh? This is, and is now proudly heavily invested in the online blogging world, which I think is super cool, and I can't wait to hear more about that. Since 2008, she has been the editor-in-chief and co-owner of PickTheBrain.com, one of the fastest-growing and most trusted self-improvement websites and communities on the web. With over 200 bloggers from around the world contributing content, PTB is not only a great passion project, but has truly become a powerful global voice and brand in the self-improvement space, being read in over 35 countries daily. That is so cool. Now, the reason I asked Erin onto the show was because I saw her on TV talking about her new book entitled How to Get Shit Done. Now, I'm going to quasi-apologize in advance for anybody who may be offended by that, but hey, what the heck, that's the title of the book, and hopefully that is something that we'll just gloss right over. So congratulations on the book, Erin.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I love it. And you're very brave in terms to title it that way. So talk about how you came up with that title and why you decided just to go for it.
Well, you know, it's funny because the title actually didn't come easy. I was waffling between that title, which is obviously kind of more eye-catching. and I talk about in the book this idea of the pop effect, which is... long story short, it's about really understanding who you are and where you want to go before you start analyzing your productivity. Mm-hmm. And so I was, but you know, in talks with my agent, she was like, but nobody knows what the pop effect is and da, da, da. Anyways. So I kind of like the title, as I said, because it jumps off the page, but it also, when you get to reading the book, you see people think that this idea of how to get shit done is about getting more done. And actually this entire book is about how to get less done in a way, get more done by doing less. So I don't know. I wanted to cut to the chase and say, let's stop with all this BS about productivity and get to the core of what really matters.
Right, right. And you know, we in the speaking field, you and I talked about this, that you are just kind of making an entrance onto that field. Some clients will go for it and some will not. And that's just going to be the way it is. And we hope that they, the ones who are the perfect fit for you, will find you and will love the title.
Right.
That's the way it goes, right?
Yeah. No, it's been so funny doing interviews, especially on TV, because everybody's like, how can we do? Hilarious.
Yeah.
So I laugh every time the book is introduced just because there's always a creative spin. You just went for it, which I appreciate.
Well, we try to be brave here on the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. At the same time, you know, our goal when we go out into the world and speak is really not to offend people. I have some clients who can get away with the F-bombs from the platform, but they're at the $30,000 fee range and they're just in a different stratosphere. You know, right. We know Gary Vaynerchuk is out there doing it all the time. That's who he is. I think for most of it is just maybe not the way that we're going to go. And that is okay. I think you just kind of walk your own path.
Right.
And absolutely. I love that you're doing it bravely. So the subtitle of the book is Why Women Need to Stop Doing Everything So They Can Achieve Anything. Mm-hmm. And just FYI, we do have a very dual gender audience. Maybe there's even there's a wide variety of people listening. So let's open this up to make it for anybody, but tell us what you meant by that subtitle.
Well, yeah. So first of all, it's funny because I moved to Los Angeles I'm talking to everybody here now from Los Angeles, but I am Canadian, about 10 years ago. And when I moved here, I had these big dreams that I was going to, you know, be a very active player in the entertainment industry, writing scripts and stuff. And long story short, I ended up hitting a brick wall fast because I came down here with no plan, ended up kind of in the fetal position on my bathroom floor crying, saying, you know, my house was being foreclosed upon. I had no car. My visa was about to be up and I was going to have to go to Canada to, you know, basically retreat back to Canada, total failure. And it was in that kind of moment where I was like, you know, I had to look really deep and say, hey, what do I want to do? What, how am I going to get out of this? I can't believe I'm in this situation. I sent out 100 emails on Craigslist to try and get one writing job as a last ditch, you know, attempt to stay here. I got one offer as a $15 an hour copywriting job for a self-improvement blog. This is not the kind of job I moved to Los Angeles writing job to get. But I decided I wanted to give it one last try. I took it. And long story short, I was able to turn that $15 an hour copywriting job into co-owning Pick the Brain. As you mentioned, it's now a very big player in the self-development space. I co-founded a company called Leaf TV, which is I just sold that company to a publicly traded company, which was a video hub for the millennial woman. Long story short on that. And I was able to turn this, as I said, this $15 an hour copywriting job into something that was pretty, pretty meaningful. Wow. I got 2 years ago out of the blue, a call from a New York lit agent who said, Erin, we'd love you to write a book. Are you interested? And I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe this. This is why I moved to Los Angeles. Somebody's going to pay me to write. I was like, yes, 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 yes. What do you want the book to be about? And she said, well, we'd like it to be about you. And I said, well, who would read that book? What are you, crazy? What do you mean? I can write this, I can write that. And they said, no, Erin, you've done this, 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 this. Like, everybody would, it just feels like it could be a really impactful book. So I got off the phone and I was legitimately shocked. I was like, I was totally, totally baffled, you know. And when I started to think about it, I was like, wow, I actually, in this very kind of short amount of time, 5 or 6 years, was able to turn the ship around in a really meaningful way. And I started to think, why haven't I recognized this? Why haven't I acknowledged this or appreciated it? When I walked into my office the next morning, I looked around at all the women that I was working with, and it seemed to me that we were all suffering from the same kind of disease, where we're just going, 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 and not stopping to appreciate or acknowledge anything. And at that rate, it felt like we're going to crash into a brick wall. There's no way we can sustain this. And so that was kind of the genesis for the book, is analyzing, you know, how we got into this kind of tailspin in the first place. And I will say, the first half of the book is very focused on that, you know, the female dynamic and kind of the history of where women in the workplace and in the home. But the second part of the book can be used by anybody, men and women. They're all very practical, tactical strategies for being the most efficient you can be with your time, time tracking challenges, just how assessing who you're spending your time with, how you're spending your time to really get the most out of it. Mm-hmm. So as I said, so for the men in the audience, there is a real practical application on just understanding how to get the most out of every hour in your day so that you don't lose your mind by the time you turn 50.
I love it. I love it. So congratulations on your overnight, not so much success.
Well, I wish it were overnight. I'd look a lot more glamorous right now.
So how many years have you been, like, how many years was it since you took that not very well paying job until now?
Oh, Like it's about, oh, that was about 11 years ago.
11. Okay. So over a decade.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. by the way, Simon & Schuster was the publisher, were they not?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So yeah. that is a super amazing publisher to get. And it's funny that you say, you know, you just really hadn't recognized all that you have accomplished. I actually have, I forgot to mention it to you, but I have, a new book out called The Wealthy Speaker Daily Success Planner and Journal. And every morning we write down things that give us confidence.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that you would be drawing on, you know, well, I've written some books, I've done this, I've done that. And, you know, you're just constantly, what you're constantly thinking about, what do I have going for me? Because I think it's so important to just stop and reflect.
Totally. It's, and that's also, It number one, if you're not reflecting and you're not like living in the moment and appreciating what you're doing, what's the point? Number one. Number two, if you're not doing that, you're not growing at the pace that you could, because it's through those reflections that you learn and you can pivot and you can start making meaningful strides that count. If you're just dialing it in every day, even if you're quote unquote successful, if you're just working through the success as opposed to living through it, you're not growing. As I said, you're not growing in the way that you could, because it's through that exercise of being present and taking stock of what you've done that you can start to monitor, you know, how you're behaving, how you're living, and how you want to change that. Not in dramatic ways, but in small ways, and those small ways over time start to really impact who you are as a person and your overall kind of fulfillment and happiness.
Wow. You know, I don't think we can talk about being present without mentioning technology.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about what we can do to integrate both productivity and technology into our lives.
Yeah, so technology is a double-edged sword, in my opinion. It's the great, as I talk about this in the book, it's the great equalizer. Like the internet is the great kind of equalizer for women in the workplace, because it's taken away those traditional hierarchies, or at least reduced their importance. There's a lot more creative workspace available in terms of, you know, there's a lot of flexibility about working hours. Mm-hmm. And just the jobs that themselves are being created are a little bit different now. So that's all good stuff. And when you think about all of the productivity apps that are out there now, mm-hmm. whether it's you can get your groceries delivered or ride sharing through the app, or you can have some, there's so many things that you can do to save yourself time. The problem is that we're freeing up more time to get more stuff done. Mm-hmm. And my opinion is that's where you're going to hit the wall, right? It's that you should be freeing up more time so that then you can live. So you've got to be able to find that balance between, oh my gosh, look how much I can do because everything's so convenient now if I just get the right formula. But that only works if you're using that time you save, you're using to do something that for yourself that matters to you, that's meaningful, that, you know, otherwise there's no balance. And especially it becomes kind of dangerous in the face of, speaking of technology, social media, where everybody has this perfect existence on Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest and everybody's living their best life, but that's not true. And so you start to look at all of these things and feel worse and worse and worse about yourself, or you feel the need to create your own perfect lie and put up, you know, it's fun to a certain extent, as long as you keep it as fun. But I know, at least I work in the digital world, so everybody is just obsessive about all these social platforms. Mm-hmm. And it becomes kind of, what starts out as fun can become toxic.
Yes.
And so you've just got to be very cognizant. And again, it's about being present and analyzing like how you're using all these, you know, all these apps and these social channels, because they can be the best things ever. And they should be the best things ever. But a lot of times they aren't, because we're not, again, being present about the way we're using them.
Right. And as professional speakers, we really are, we're all our own business owners. We're our own bosses.
Yeah.
And I always say that, what is the point of owning your own business if you're going to allow it to control you?
Right.
And I think that's, I love what you're saying. You're saying take all of the technology and use it so that you can free up more time to do the things that you love. Because if your business is running you, what's the point? You might as well go get a job.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because, and that was what was happening to me too, because I had Pick the Brain, I had Leave. Those are both digital businesses. They're online, so they're open 24/7. They're open. Right. I would wake up and I literally have like 500 emails in my Pick the Brain account. And it's like, if you don't start to control your business, it's mm-hmm. going to control you. And that totally defeats the point. What's the point? So same thing with speakers. It's like you could be working around the clock, working on talk after talk, trying to get more talks, trying to market, trying to network, trying to da da da.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, it becomes the point of diminishing returns.
Right.
Right. And you've got to be aware of what that point is, or else you start to lose.
Exactly. I just actually wrote this in a blog post, and my coach, who his name is Dan Sullivan, he's out of Toronto. He says, when you work all the time, your mind is filled up with complexity. And what happens is that the longer you go without a break, virtually everything becomes urgent because your mind, right? You can almost get manic. And so, I think it's really important. So this post that I'm putting out in a couple of weeks is about really making sure, you know, is speaking a 24/7 business? And I'm trying to just butt up against that idea, because I think we have the idea that if a client calls, then you need to be on it. We want to give good customer service. And so I'm giving them a series of ideas on how not to be so available for people. Mm-hmm. When you say that we sometimes are too available to people.
I would say we're almost all the time too available for people, honestly. Mm. And I think specifically women like to say yes. They're scared to say no. Mm. I feel like that's one of the strengths of men is that, you know, when I'm dealing with them, they're not afraid to say no as much. Like, or they're not afraid to not pick up the phone if they're doing something else. I do feel like,
I think probably in my profession, we have a little bit of that with, both genders, because, people are afraid to say no to a paid event, even if it's not their full fee or something like that.
Right. Cause you don't know when the next one is coming.
Exactly. It's not all that different from living in LA with whatever profession that you might have there.
I do want to say something that you just talked about with your blog post, because I talk about this a little bit in the book. There's a study done by a great researcher called Ian McGilchrist, who has studied the left and the right part of the brain, the right side of the brain and the right side of the brain. And the finding is the left is where all of the reason, the tactile, the doing is, and the right is where the creativity is. And the more you fill up, the more you're using the left, the more you silence the right. And so that means unless you're taking moments to really have calm, you're the right side, the creative side of your brain is becoming quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter. And especially for speakers, you want to be able to tap into that creativity as much as you can. That's your individual fingerprint. That's your individual voice. That's where the thing that's going to separate you from everybody else speaking on the same topic is. That's what makes your talk more dynamic. And so the busier you are, the more the left is engaged, the left brain is engaged, the more silence the right is. And so it's so important to find that balance, because as I said, the thing that makes you special is living in that right brain.
Gotcha.
And you need to be able to access that so you can give the most compelling, dynamic talks, you know, audience captivating talks that you can.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that you would wake up to 500 emails. Mm-hmm. Do you have a hack for that? Like, what did you do to get out from under the emails?
Well, I still get those amount of emails. I just don't stress about it. I know that there is going to be a certain amount of, excuse me, emails that I don't get to.
Well, you did talk about outsourcing, though. So yes. Let's talk about what are some things that people can do to kind of eliminate it all being on their shoulders. I love the idea of having, you know, someone on the team go through the emails. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be doable for everybody. Is there anything that we can, is there any kind of ideas around just dealing with all of that? Or maybe part of your idea is not dealing with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think number one, to try not to get stressed out about it. But number two, so like I have with Pick the Brain, I'm a kind of a bit of a control freak. I've tried numerous times to work with assistants on various things, whether it's uploading content for me or going through these emails. And it's inevitably always come back to me having to do it. But what I have done is, for example, I can't stand grocery shopping. It makes me, it's like one of the banes of my existence. I buy myself an extra hour of time because I have, down in the United States is an app called Instacart. They deliver my groceries for me for it's $5.95. Well, that $5.95 buys me an extra hour so that I can then go through these emails or upload more content to the blog or do whatever I want. So you've got to look. So I, you know, as opposed to just saying, where can I find more time in the day out of my work schedule? You can also say, look at it holistically and say where, and this is what I talk about in the book about really analyzing. I talk about a 7-day time challenge. Where from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go down to sleep, you write down everything you do for 7 days. And at the end of that 7 days, I think you'll be shocked to see how much time you're giving away to do things for other people as opposed to for yourself. And when you start to get a handle on how you're spending your time, you can start to get really creative. And this is the good thing about being self-employed. You do have a lot of, you know, as speakers are mostly, you do have a lot of flexibility really on your working hours. And so you can start to get really creative where you're saving time. And so like I do need to go through these emails, and that number 500 when I wake up in the morning is a daunting number. But it's less daunting when I know I don't have to do some of these other tasks, which I deem terrible. Because you know what I mean? Because I know I've got the extra time because I'm not doing the stuff that I really, that frustrates me and I don't like to do. So it's about looking at it, you know, holistically. And really, you need to be informed about how you're spending your time. And so that would be the first thing, is just really how you're spending your time. That's
I think a lot of people are very unconscious about that. And fortunately, about 5 years ago, when I first started with Dan Sullivan, he, you know, started to teach us about time. And the very first thing I came home and told my husband, we need a wife. Because we actually have Stacy.
That's so funny.
Who is our wife. And she'll come in, she'll do the laundry, she'll clean the fridge if we want her to, she'll just do everything. And I really, really appreciate that so very, very much, because it's not worth it. I mean, I could do it, but I won't do as good a job as she will do. And it's really worthwhile. That is money well spent. And I also do the grocery. Right. Too, where I order it online and then I get hubby to pick it up. So that works out quite nicely. I do have an idea though for people on the email. And if you do have someone on your team who you're kind of grooming to become your assistant, or what I was talking about in this blog post today was, you know, going on vacation, you need to be able to get away. And so I'm going to have my assistant monitor my email and then CC me on the responses, and all the answered emails and responses are going to go into the answered email folder, so that my goal is to get it down to my interaction on emails, because all new things coming into the business are all handled kind of in a templated fashion. You know, we have systems for everything. I'm gonna have it so that my email basket is really just clients. You know, I'm dealing just with the clients, and that is kind of me operating in my core competency, so that I'm not doing all these other things that are really taking away a lot of time. Email can get incredibly overwhelming, don't you think?
Oh God, because it never stops. You think
it never stops?
Okay, I just got this done, and you refresh, and I've got like 3 more emails, and I'm like, no, like, and that's the thing. You could just keep doing that all day long.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about your POP posse. What does that mean?
Okay. So I spend a lot of time talking, as we just heard here, about how you spend your time. And then the second part that I really talk about is who you're spending your time with. And that's kind of the POP posse, which is you really need to analyze the people can be so wonderful in holding you up and supporting you and helping you and these super productive relationships. And then there's the flip side of that, where there are the naysayers, the people that are constantly negative, constantly telling you why you can't do something, and not necessarily directly, like saying, hey, Erin, you're not good at doing that. It's all very subversive and subconscious. And basically, they can weigh you down and bring you down. And that really is demoralizing subconsciously or can consciously. And it also takes your efficiency way, way down because you're thinking it pulls your energy down, right? When you're with somebody that makes you feel great and pumped up, all of a sudden you feel like you can take on the world. When you're with somebody that is womp womp, that's the way you walk away feeling. And that can affect you, but we don't analyze that, right? And it kind of feels like a harsh thing to do, but you have to take stock of the people that are in your life on a regular basis. And you have to start managing those people if you really want to get stuff done and feel good about it, right? Because, you are the company you keep. And so you have to be, you have to be very, in my opinion, you have to be very vigilant about the people you're keeping closest. And people treat you the way you train them to treat you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What you accept from people is what you are going to get and what you deserve to get. So you have to be conscious. Even if somebody is negative or making you feel negative, you got to look at it and say, maybe it's the behavior that I'm accepting. And if I would not accept this behavior, we could actually turn this around to be something really positive.
Right.
So it's just about critically analyzing who you're spending your time with as much as how you're spending your time.
What's that saying about your success is directly related to the 5 people you spend the most time with? Something like that.
Yeah.
So important. And
so important.
I look at my posse. I have a really great group of friends and couples that we hang out with. And I've noticed that I'm really different with some. And I think it's because they expect me to be this one way.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing because they kind of expect the best from me. And I think I rise up to that occasion.
That's exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's analyzed. It's just being cognizant of that because you want to have more of that in your life and less. I mean, how many times has your phone ring and you say that you see the number on the call display and you go, oh,
no, yeah.
And you roll your eyes and your shoulders slump. It's like, well, be conscious of that. Why is that? And do I want to invite more of that in my life or do I want to try and minimize that?
I love it because almost every day I look at my list of clients because I do private coaching one-on-one and I look at the list and I go, oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, good. You know, almost every day it's that. And if someone on there that's dreaded, there's a very good chance that we're going to break up with each other before we're finished anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what I'm getting from you is that we just really want to be conscious about who and how we're spending our time.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to be truly productive and really have your energy intact, because that's a lot of people in self-improvement, self-development talk about happiness and fulfillment, and those are great things to strive for, but I find those to be very esoteric concepts, very not tangible. I mean, what does happy mean? You know what I mean? But if I speak about my energy, at the end of the day, that's a very tangible thing. Either my energy is depleted, I'm feeling low energy, or I'm feeling pumped up, I'm feeling great, and I want to take on the world. That's a very good litmus test to see if you're going in the right direction. If there's a good balance in your life, in my opinion. And if your energy is constantly depleted, you've got to stop and take stock because something's not right. Something's not aligned in your world. Mm. And the two biggest ways, in my opinion, to get to the bottom of it are to analyze how you're spending your time and who you're spending your time with.
Okay. Now, is there anything that we haven't mentioned yet around avoiding burnout?
Avoiding burnout. Well, I think the most important thing is just to understand, take the time up front to understand who you really are and what you really want and be razor focused that everything that you're doing in, 90% of what you're doing in a day is geared towards moving those things that are important to you forward. And if you're spending more than 10% of your time on stuff that isn't moving those core values for you forward, you're going to burn out eventually. And that doesn't matter. I'm not talking about success. You could be making all the money in the world, but you're going to eventually hit a wall where you go, I'm not happy. I don't feel good.
Yeah. I hear you. I had a client who wrote we do this vision, a perfect day in your life 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. And he wrote it all out. This is way back at the beginning of his career. He had just left his corporate job and was going out into the speaking world. And he wrote it all out. And I thought, really? This is all you want? Like, what about, where's all the rest? Where's all the fun? When are you enjoying spending all this money? Anyway,
right.
So he said that I beat him up, that his vision wasn't good enough. But it's true. He needed a little... sometimes I think we don't recognize, we're so hyper-focused on the goal. And the goal in this world is getting speaking engagements and getting a full calendar. Right. So for him, it was 80 engagements a year. That was the goal. That was the goal. That was the goal. And there was just nothing else. He couldn't even see beyond the blind that. So hyper focus. Well, what are some other things that we haven't mentioned yet that are important pieces to really getting as much done as you want to?
So, I mean, again, I think the first step is really understanding, taking the time to understand. So many people email me on Pick the Brain and they're like, I don't know what's going on. I can't find any motivation. And I said, so what are you doing in life? And they describe what they're doing in life. And there's just absolutely no joy. There's no excitement. I said, well, I don't think you should be doing whatever career it is you're doing. And they always say, what? What are you talking about? I've spent 8 years. And I said, well, I think you shouldn't be doing that. The way you're talking about it, it doesn't feel like it lights you up at all. Anyways, so that it's, I can't underscore the importance of really understanding what you're doing. And really one of the most important things is to find your motivation, and motivation is really the kickstarter to maximizing how much stuff you get done, is to understand the why of what you're doing. So it's not necessarily like your friend said, I want 80 speaking engagements, but why? Why do you want 80 speaking engagements?
Right.
And if you can start to, what's behind that? Because that's not necessary. So you hit 80 speaking engagements and then what? Mm-hmm. There's nothing, it's not, but if you start to craft everything you're doing around a why, so just to give a layman's example here, if somebody said, Erin, I need you to raise $100,000 by the end of the week. Okay. We'll just raise $100,000. So in other words, just do 80 speaking engagements in a year. Okay, sure. I'll try, I guess, you know what I mean? But if somebody said, Erin, I need you to raise $100,000 at the end of this week because my daughter has cancer and I don't have enough money to pay for that.
Right.
Okay. All of a sudden, okay, all cylinders are firing. There's a why. And at the end result, I raise $100,000 or I don't, but the why and how I get there and why it becomes important and it becomes meaningful to me. And there's a person or a place or a destination that I really want to get to from a passionate point of view. I care about this. All of a sudden, the raising of the $100,000 becomes almost unimportant. It's okay. I'm going to get that done. But you feel invested, you feel engaged, there's a mission. And if you can find that, then that's the place you want to be. right? Yeah. You, so, and the only way you can find that is through finding your why. So you're speaking and you want to be a speaker. Find that thing that really make, why do I want to do this? I want to connect with people. I want to have what, and it, I want to have moments. I want to have engagement with people on a human level. I want to do this because I can reach people. I can talk to people, whatever it is, you know, you've got to find your own personal why. If you find that, you're 90% of the way there.
I love it. I love it. So start with the why, and maybe it might mean that your goal originally wasn't exactly what was perfect for
exactly.
you. Maybe you find other mediums. We're thought leaders, right? And so maybe we find other mediums. You know, I may have you back to talk about how do you create this world that you've created online. That is a machine.
I would love to do it.
That is a machine. All right. So if anybody wants to know more about you, Erin, where should they mm-hmm. go?
Well, you can find me daily on pickthebrain.com. That's my website. Or then I'm on kind of all social channels at Erin Falconer or at pickthebrain.
All right. Yeah. Well, wealthy speakers, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you enjoyed or appreciated this podcast episode, please leave us a rating, leave us a comment over at speakerlauncher.com on the podcast page so that we can share those back with Erin. And Erin, thank you so much for taking the time out of your hectic schedule to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
What a great time. And with that, we will say, see you soon, wealthy speakers. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Show. Please visit speakerlauncher.com for your free Wealthy Speaker audit and visit speakerlauncher.com/podcast for show notes and many more resources to help you catapult your speaking business. See you soon, Wealthy Speakers.